everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. I'm Dr. Terry, and thanks for listening. I have a great program for you today. It's all about my two favorite things in life, relationships and wine, right? You're the same. I know it. Now, relationships are a lot like wine. Both get better with age or over time. So today, sit back. Pour yourself a nice glass of wine. I'm not, but I wish I could. And get ready to learn about the similarities between relationships and wine. I have a wonderful guest today, Michael Schaefer, also known as the Wine Counselor, is a professor at the Culinary Institute of Michigan at Baker College and at Oakland Community College. He created the beverage program at Dorsey Schools, Michigan, and taught at the International Culinary School of the Art Institute of Michigan. He is a sommelier, certified specialist of wine, certified specialist of spirits, and certified culinary travel professional. He's certified all around. He is a regular contributor to numerous publications and writes quarterly articles for the Taster's Guild Journal and the Journal of the American Wine Society. Now, Michael and I both live in Michigan, and we met from a friend that we have in common. We've gotten together a few times in person because the two of us, the wine counselor and the love doctor, are organizing an event together all about love and wine. And it would be an event where people would come for a wonderful evening to learn how to taste beautiful wines at the same time they learn simple strategies to improve their love relationship. Sounds like a great event. I know I want to come to it and you do too. But welcome to the program first, Michael. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Terry. Really appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Oh, super. And I can't wait. We're organizing that event. And we will let listeners know in the future when and how it will be. But first, you're a lawyer, actually, by profession. So how did you go from being a lawyer to a wine counselor?
Well, it was not too tough of a transition, Dr. Terry. It was something that I wanted to do for a while. I've been practicing law for over 25 years, and I've also really had a passion for wine and food and spirits, and was fortunate enough to have done some traveling and gone to some of the great wine spots around the world, some actually here in Michigan, around the United States, and I just wanted to take my passion for wine and food spirits and take that and work it a little bit more than just having it as a hobby. And a couple of friends of mine said, you know, why don't you, you should be a consultant. You should do this. You should do that. You know what you're talking about. And you're kind of funny. And I said, well, yeah, I suppose I should. And I was talking about it with my beautiful bride one day.
And I like your beautiful bride.
She is 20 plus years. And she, as wives, do kind of cut to the quick and said, well, you know, you're not getting any younger. What are you going to do this? So a few years ago, I shifted gears for my encore career. And, of course, the wine counselor is really kind of a parody on words because attorneys are known as attorneys and counselors.
Oh, you're so right. I like that. So that's where the counselor comes, but it's also like a therapist giving advice on wine.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I love it. Now, you're a certified sommelier as well. Did you go through that intense training? I watched the movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Some.
Yeah.
And it talked about the training of sommeliers. Did you do that as well, Michael?
I did. My training wasn't quite as intense as that. That movie was about the highest level of sommelier, which there are very, very few in the world. I am a sommelier and have that certification. That movie is for master somms, and that, as I said, there's a few hundred of those folks in the world. But I did go through training, and I am a somm, and it's basically, it's a lot of practice, and of course, research and writing. You do have to take the exams and pass a practical and a written and an evaluation, you know, blind tasting. So
Well, I loved that movie, by the way, and I encourage listeners to watch it. It's a great movie, Somm.
Yes.
So, as you know, Michael, I have been studying relationships for over three decades. I'm all about relationships in my professional life, in my personal life. And most relationships get better over time. We appreciate our partner more. We learn more about our partner over time. So the question is, do wines get better over time, just like relationships?
Some of them do. Some of them, not so much.
Oh, really? So which ones do get better over time?
Well, the ones that get better over time are the ones like a relationship that kind of have a foundation and were well made and well put together in the first place. And that percentage is not huge, but those are the ones that really do improve in the bottle.
Like, what are we talking? Are we talking about a high-end wine then, or are we talking about a red, not a white, or a dry, or not a sweet, or what does that mean? It has a good foundation.
Well, that's it's not necessarily a dry or a sweet, or a red or a white, because all those, a dry red or a sweet white, can improve with age in the bottle. It's in the way they're made. And some wines, a lot of wines are just made, you know, once they're in the bottle, they're ready to go, ready to open that bottle and enjoy it once it's put in there. Other wines, they take more time, like relationships, to develop in the bottle and gain complexity. And sometimes they don't start out really, really enjoyable and pleasurable, but they evolve and that magic happens in the bottle. Like with a relationship where maybe sometimes you meet somebody and you go, wow, I don't know, who is this? Who's she? Who's he? What are they like? But then, and you, maybe you're even a little bit off-put by them. But then when you get to know them, then, oh my, this person and I, he or she is great. And we could have something going here.
I love that, Mike. I love that you're using the analogy, right? And people always ask me, how do I know? Like, is there any guarantee that when I meet somebody that they're going to be the one, or I will know all about them? And I'm just going to ask you the same question that I get. So how do you know when you look at the wines in a bottle? How do I know whether or not I should drink it right away, or if I should keep it in for weeks, months, years, and then open it up?
Well, that's a great question.
And I'll tell you, I don't know the answer either when people ask me. So you definitely can say that too, Michael.
because there really is no answer just by looking at the bottle. Just by when you meet someone, it's tough to say, you know, what's that person like. And with the bottle, just by looking at it, you really can't tell. But you know, if you taste, I mean, it's tough work, but someone's got to do it. You got to taste to find out what is your taste. What type of wine do you like? A lot of people start out preferring sweeter wines and then move to drier wines. Not everybody does that. And people say to me, well, what my students will say, well, what should I like, counselor? Say, it's not a question of what you should like. It's what do you like? That's all that matters. By looking at the bottle on the shelf in the store or the supermarket, you can't really tell. You need to taste the wine, maybe go online, take a look, read up a little bit about it. And it's a great idea to keep a little bit of a journal so that, and with our phones, of course, just take a picture and keep that, write some notes and say, I really like this one. I didn't like this one quite so much. Kind of like with people. Some people have a really wacky sense of humor. Other people have a very dry sense of humor. What do we like in people? And then what do we like in wine?
I like that, and keep a journal. And I know that I started out liking sweeter white wines, but then over time, I now only like dry reds. So I don't like whites anymore.
Oh, my. Have you become a wine snob?
Am I a wine snob? Yes, I think I am.
Oh, my.
But why? You said only white. Do most people, when they like or end up liking reds, dry reds, still like whites?
Yes. Yeah, they still usually prefer dry wines. And, of course, wines, it depends on the occasion. Sometimes, who we like to have in a relationship. But with wine, for instance, a sweet white dessert wine like a Sauternes or a ice wine or a late harvest Riesling is appropriate after dinner and perhaps with the dessert, where it wouldn't be so appropriate with, say, a steak. Now, at the same time, if you want to drink sweet wine with a big piece of prime rib, that's something I would recommend. Ugh. But go for it, because it's all about what you like. Just like, and same thing with people, with relationships. Hey, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I don't know who first said that, but it's true with wine, and you're the expert on the relationships.
Right. And that brings up a good question, I think, Michael. You know, relationships are affected by, you know, a partner's mood or the stress that one partner may be feeling, let's say, given work or family obligations, or even a relationship can change or be affected by the seasons. People in the winter, when they don't get enough sun, that definitely affects their relationship. So the same probably holds true for people and their preferences for wine. The food, what you're eating may affect what type of wine you want or the season. Is that something you find to be true?
Oh, very much so, Terry, very much so. People say, well, what's your favorite wine?
And my yes, my I was going to ask is, you that. I was going to ask you that, too. What is your favorite wine, by the way?
My favorite wine is the one I'm going to drink from your cellar tonight. that's my favorite. I don't have a particular favorite wine, because it does depend most importantly on what you're eating. And there are classical pairings of wine and food,
and
that there are guidelines.
Tell us those classical pairings. What are the classical pairings?
Well, I mean, just having there's three kind of principles. One is that you want to have you want to mirror the wine to the food in terms of weight and density. People say, wait, what do you mean? Why? It's liquid. Well, different wines, like different beers, have different weights in your mouth. They have different mouth feels. So is it a light wine? Is it a medium bodied wine? Is it a heavy wine? And so it's kind of the mirroring principle. If you have a light salad dish, you're going to want to have a lighter wine. For you, perhaps a Pinot Noir, because you like those dry reds. Right. Now, if you're having a big hearty beef bourguignon or something like that, you want to have a heartier wine, perhaps a robust Syrah or a big, bold Zinfandel. So that's one principle.
So then there's good.
I'm sorry?
As you're describing it sounds so good. Keep going.
Getting hungry and thirsty?
Exactly. Thirsty.
And then another one is basically, and this is a little bit tricky, but compare or contrast. And that's where you have food and you want to kind of compare or contrast the wine with the food. An example of that might be something spicy. And something spicy, let's say some Thai food or Sichuan food. And you've got the heat from the chilies that are in the dish. So you really, now you said you like the dry reds, and if you like that, that's great. But for a lot of people, if you have a wine that's got a little bit of sweetness, that balances the heat in a dish. I like to say heat like sweet in terms of food and wine pairings.
Okay, that's interesting.
And then last, but certainly not least, is basically kind of pairing up the bridging, using flavors or aromas in the wine with the food. For instance, Cabernet Sauvignon sometimes has somewhat of a rosemary character in the nose, an herbal characteristic. Well, a leg of lamb or beef that has some rosemary, something in it, that kind of segues and bridges the flavors and the aromas in the food and the wine. And most importantly, 1 + 1 = 3, what I call bad math. You've got the food and the wine, and the sum, if it's done right, is greater than the parts. And then we have happy mouth.
I like that. So if I just had to recap, you're talking about classical pairings of wine and food. First, you can mirror the wine to the food in weight and density. Great idea. Great suggestion. Number two is to compare and contrast the spicy with the sweet. And number three is to use the flavors in the wine with the flavors in the food. I like that, Michael. Thank you. Now, let's talk about the benefits of wine. We know, first of all, that there are huge benefits to happy, healthy relationships, of course, physically and psychologically. People are less anxious, they're less depressed when they're in a happy, healthy relationship, but also physically, they sleep better, fewer headaches, better heart health. So what are the benefits then to drinking wine?
Oh my. Well, I don't think we've got quite enough time, but we can
go in
a
few minutes.
I know, Dr. Terry. Well, one of them is that if you have a little bit of wine, sometimes if you have dinner companions that maybe aren't the most interesting around, they might become a little more interesting if you have a couple glasses of wine.
Very good. I like that one.
that's certainly one way. Wine, really, I use wine kind of as a condiment with food. It makes food taste better. And here in the United States, a lot of folks use it kind of almost as a cocktail. But in the old world, which is basically Europe, the wine accompanies almost always, not always, but almost always accompanies food. So that's where those pairings come in. And the food tastes better, and the wine tastes better. Red wine in particular, the kind that you prefer, that has chemicals called resveratrols that come from the skin of the grape. And by the way, wine gets its color from the skin of the grapes. All the grapes are clear inside. So red wine, that color comes from the skin of the grapes.
And then white wines have a skin that's white, then,
right,
correct?
Right, exactly. Gotcha. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So it is heart healthy. It is good for us. Like everything else, whether it's chocolate, which I happen to love dark chocolate, or if it's other things, moderation, of course, is key. But there is quite a bit of research out there. I'm not a doctor, but there is quite a bit of research that shows that moderate consumption of wine is beneficial for the heart. It also, for most people, it's a little relaxing. It tastes good. It makes you feel a little bit calmer. Most people that I know that enjoy wine almost always share it with others.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that brings me to my next question, Michael, that I've been dying to ask you. But first of all, I love all of those benefits, by the way, relaxation, it takes away some of the stress, but you can also share it with someone else. And so, you know, I'm all about making our relationships great, making them the best they can be. So what kinds of suggestions do you have for couples in how to include wine or a class about wine, either on a date or in my long-term relationship?
Sure. Well, one way is for them to visit my website, which is Wine Counselor, that's WineCounselor.net. And there I have a schedule of classes of where I'm going to be teaching different classes about wine. And that's an easy way to spend a couple of hours with your partner, and they can come, and I call it learn and laugh. And the word I use is edutainment.
Edutainment. I love it. So what do you do? Do we in your classes, do we taste wine?
Absolutely.
Do we then learn what we're tasting and what we like? Okay.
Yeah. Good. And there's different, the world is, wine is so broad. I've got a class coming up in a couple of months called Super Sparklers. It's all about sparkling wine for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And then we've got holiday classics, wines that have kind of stood the test of time that are great to serve your family and friends. And we go through and you taste six different wines, and we have little snacks, and I talk about them. I talk where they're from, how they're made, what they pair with, all those good things.
Oh, that is super. I like that. And and what fun, because it really, you're going to learn about wine and what you like and the benefits, and red versus white, is sparkling not. But also when you do something with your partner, something new, something that you gain information together, that improves your relationship as well. So you're going to gain information about wine, but you're also going to gain a benefit that improves your relationship. I love it. Anything else? We just have a few minutes left. So any other suggestions about places or things that we might do together, my partner and I, that involves wine?
Sure. Well, another one is, for one thing, when you go to when you attend one of the classes, you find out more about your partner by what they like. Because frequently, folks don't necessarily like the same thing. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But you learn more about each other, which is another benefit to doing that. But one of it is to have some other folks, some other couples, have a little tasting, I can come and have a tasting in your home. I also do corporate events as well, where we have tastings and we taste different types of wine and different styles of wine and compare and contrast them.
Oh, I love that. That's fun as well. And you could do that with work colleagues. You can do that with other couples. Now, what if I'm on a first date? What should I do? Should I take my date and we have a glass of wine?
Sure. You might want to ask, hey, what kind
like
of wine,
wine
do you prefer? But just try things. It's great. Sometimes places will have flights, what they call a flight of wine. Well, they'll have a little, maybe two or three or four different wines that you can purchase as kind of a selection. But yeah, your first date, just go and say, hey, do you like white? Do you like red? Do you like sparkling? You get a glass of this and I'll get a glass of this and we'll see what happens.
And if you take one of your classes, you can even impress your date with all the information that you've learned in that class. Well, thank you, Michael. We've actually totally run out of time.
Oh, my. Okay.
I thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your knowledge and your expertise with listeners. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Love talking to you, Dr. Terry, and I hope to come back soon.
Absolutely. Well, listeners, if you want to connect with Michael Schaefer, again, you can visit his website at winecounselor.net, and that's .net, not .org. He's also on Twitter and Facebook at Wine Counselor. And as always, listeners, thank you. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships be the best they can be. My personal website is drterrytheLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy and simple to implement into your relationship. Also, I have a new video course that's called How to Find Love in 7 Days. Yes, find love in 7 days, all backed by science. So if you're interested in finding the right person for you, check it out on my website again under courses. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.